You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It's Alan Hahn and Bart Scott. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, of course, you can get us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Bart and Hahn. Bart, I can already tell that today is going to be one of those red-hot show days that is going to fly by. Buckle up, everybody. Because it's about to get a little. I know it's cold in the Northeast. It's about to get hot.
I feel like Wendy Williams, man. I'm sitting on all this tea, all this inside information, going to plugs. You got me in the back of the alley, like my boy was getting a crop report from Trading Places.
That's how we
I'm
do
out
it.
Here. I'm out here getting envelopes, all kind of stuff, man. I got an MP3. I got that hot fire, man. I can't wait to 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whenever we get to this damn story.
Yeah, we got a couple of things. It's something about it that. I just feel like, you know, when you're a reporter, I've been a reporter. I was a beat writer. I've covered professional sports out of New York for 20 years, more than that. And then since then, I've gone to TV and obviously radio as well. But there's something about, like, you just as a reporter, you get these spidey senses that start tingling about certain stories and certain things. We've got a couple of them today. We've got one about the Houston Texans that we will get to in the 1 o'clock hour, all sparked by something I saw on Get Up. Like, very innocent thing that I saw on Get Up that just suddenly had Bart and I just digging into things, and we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Where smoke is fire, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. We're definitely like, it's just something happening there. So you got that. But yesterday, as we were finishing up our show, and we did spend some time yesterday on the anthem situation in Dallas, and I did tell a story about, you know, the anthem and being played at an NHL game that I was covering in Montreal. I told you that story yesterday. I put the story up on social. But we never really had a response from the NBA until literally minutes after the show. And the NBA basically said, with NBA teams now in the process of welcoming fans back into their arenas, all teams will play the national anthem in keeping with longstanding league policy. So, Bart, that is the league decided it was letting its teams know that – while this is a different world we're living in right now, because you don't have, in most arenas, fans in the building.
Right.
And all we know of was that the Mavericks were the one team that just didn't play the anthem before games. And I found it strange that the story, despite no player ever talking about it, no member of the media ever mentioning it, that suddenly yesterday it was a story.
Yeah.
That had some sourced, you know, reaction. And then, of course, Mark Cuban just making one small statement. So Mark Cuban then went on the jump yesterday to discuss it more. And one thing he did say, Bart, was that the team never actually decided it wouldn't play the anthem. Take a listen to this.
Basically, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we had never decided that we weren't going to play the anthem when we had fans in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had some fans in last game, but they were all healthcare workers and people we were honoring. They weren't our ticket holders or season ticket holders at all. So, you know, we didn't know, you know, that it would be brought to a head at this point. But it was an ongoing discussion in terms of when we would have our paying fans or season ticket holders back in the arena, that we would address it then.
So they didn't. They just did it for a preseason game and then just sort of stuck with it. Essentially, that's what that's about. So this has now become a thing where the league then just obviously had to come out and say, once the story got out. And I'm always curious, is Bart, why did the story come out? Why did this become a story?
Yep.
Who was, like, because again, if no reporter really was talking about it, how did it suddenly become a story? And then how did it, a couple of hours later, immediately the league put out a statement, and now all of a sudden, okay, yep, okay, now we'll start playing the anthem. Doesn't that sound a little strange to you?
It does. Like I said yesterday when we were on the show, it reminds me a little bit of when Colin Kaepernick was sitting down for anthem and nobody really noticed, and it takes one person being observant, like, hey,
one
man.
Reporter was tipped off and said, watch Colin before the game,
right.
And it was a preseason game, remember?
Exactly. And nobody ever mentioned or everybody ever knew that Marshawn Lynch has never stood for the anthem. But, you know, that he was sitting just because of his personal reason. It wasn't a political reason. It wasn't a protest against cops and things that we knew that was considered anti-American. So now, you know, I think Mark Cuban, maybe he understands, or maybe I believe was thinking maybe that you think about what part of the country you're in. Right. And we understand how divisive the national anthem and the protests of the national anthem, guys kneeling during the anthem, what it can be and how it can alienate the fan base, not only for the in arena fans, but also your fan base, maybe not wanting to tune in to watch your product. Right. But also it's a fine line between alienating your fan base and then alienating and feeling like you don't have the support and the backing of your owner. As Mark Cuban has, you know, learned more about the reason of this, and he does some tremendous things. What he's doing for Delonte West is, you know, short of amazing, getting this guy's life back on track. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's a businessman as well. And if he can take something out that's so divisive like the national anthem, then maybe you can kind of play both sides. And I haven't really seen a lot of protests, a lot of kneeling, you know, this year in basketball at all, you know. But
you never see the anthem on TV.
You know what the crazy thing is? Like, when I first got in the league, we didn't even come out of the locker room for that. It was only when they started to monetize the money that the military was paying them that they start making us come out and start making it a big deal. The first 5 years of my career.
I thought after 9/11, everybody, they would hold the gigantic flags on the field.
No, because we used to have a guy from the E Street Band, Carl or Clinton or something. He played the saxophone at the Ravens games all the time, and I never saw it. And my mom used to always tell me about it. And it wasn't until later when I was with the Ravens, be like around 9 and 8, when we even started coming out. But that's when the NFL got the contract with the U.S. military because they wanted to make it for recruiting to glorify it, to make, you know. Now, you always saw it at the Super Bowl, but, you know, you never saw it when I was there. So, you know, people talk about the reason why the NFL, you know, supports it is because they were getting money from it. And I think that, you know, you think about the NBA, maybe that's a little bit of the same thing, but not wanting to alienate the fan base at the same time. But now everybody comes out for it. It's the pageantry of it, and it's because it's a lot of government money that goes to the NFL because of it.
You're talking about the late, great Clarence Clemons, correct?
Yes, Clemons. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to cut you off. Yeah, this, like, again, I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban's. It's not an attack on Mark Cuban, but it is just a curious, the whole scenario. Very curious. And so I'm always going to wonder if this is sort of a way to draw attention to something so that you can speak about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a weird way, I'm going to say this delicately. It felt like a publicity stunt for wokeness.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, again, I'm not on the opposite side of anything. Like there's always three sides to a story, and I'm the one in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I look at it as that. And so it's just, how did this suddenly just become a story just so that it can become a statement, just so it can become a discussion, because we haven't talked about it in the bubble. You had statements, you had, you know, phrases on the back of jerseys, you had Black Lives Matter on the court. It was there. You had anthems where players would, everybody, remember both teams locked arms.
Yeah.
Some, you know, knelt, like you had, as we're showing on ESPN Plus right now, like you have that. And so that was very much visual for the NBA. But since this season has started, it's not really. It has not stayed in the conversation. And so I kind of felt like this, I just feel like this was introduced so we could talk about it. Does that make sense, or am I being cynical?
It makes total sense, because what happens is whenever you want to have change, real change, it takes a sustainable movement. And what happens is we've seen this all the time, whether it was Trayvon Martin and we saw LeBron and, you know, the SBs, and you have that energy and people buy T-shirts and people march, people light candles, and then it's over with, right? It's, you know, and everybody wants to talk and have this real movement about systemic racism, and the NBA's donating money. You've got the NFL donating $225 million over the next 10 years to social justice and reform and legislation and all that type of stuff. But it felt like, you know, in the NBA, who went so hard with the Black Lives Matter, everybody had, you know, justice for Breonna, but where's that same energy, right? And that's what it is. You have to see it through, you know, because what happens is we become conditioned. We something happens, we have outrage, then we light candles, we march, and then people forget about it until the next one. right? And maybe this is Mark Cuban saying, I don't want to wait till the next one. Or maybe he wants to spark up the conversation. You know, I think that, you know, he may be a little bit woke and a little bit more understanding about the plight now. Yeah, woke.
It's become cliche.
Should I say blue pill? Blue pill? Matrix? Blue pill?
I don't know. I want to say anything. How about aware?
Yeah.
Like, can we just be aware? Yeah. Like, is it that hard to just say, just be aware? Yeah. Like, don't do dumb things. Don't say dumb things. And treat everybody right. Could that just be the three things, the three tenets of being a human being?
Yeah.
Like, let's just do that, and we'll move on from there. But, by the way, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So more from Mark Cuban on The Jump. And this is the part now you wonder about, is the backlash that now he could get from this, especially considering, again, like you said, like, because it's, we didn't decide not to play it, but then we decided not to play it, and now the league's told us we have to play it, so we're going to play it. So here's Cuban about potential backlash.
You know, when you try to do things that are hard, it's never going to be easy, right? When you try to, you know, create social change, it's never going to be easy. We saw that all summer long. You know, we listened to people, and, you know, there were a lot of people who tried to stand up for what they believed in and weren't really heard. You know, these are difficult conversations that are not going to go away, whether or not we play the national anthem. You know, we're just, you know, as Ken has said to me, we're just glad that we're having this conversation out of choice, not because of some tragedy that ignited the conversation.
See what I mean?
So it was very purposeful. Alan, you're as slick as a fox, man. Your spidey senses all over the place, man.
Tingling.
I started twitching. That lets you know that Mark Cuban looked around and said, hey, the NBA isn't really attacking it because they don't want to alienate their fans, right? They need the ticket. They need the television revenue. And they need all the support they can get when these arenas open to put money back inside of these owners' pockets. So let's not alienate them. Let's make sure that we have the pageantry. Let's make sure, especially in that part of the country, for a guy like Mark Cuban to do that, you would never see Jerry Jones do that. You know, he would always say, hey, you know what, you better stand. We're going to stand and reflect the flag, even when we told him what it was about. And listen, so this is Mark Cuban, you know, I feel like trying to keep the conversation moving. And I do agree with his point. We're talking about it today, and it's not coming off the heels of a tragedy or someone losing their life to a senseless act of violence, be it through the, you know, police brutality or hate crimes.
Right. Why talk about it when only there's something sad to talk about? Talk about it all the time. And I just feel like this was an attempt by Cuban and the Mavericks to, let's keep this conversation going. Like, I really do feel like it. And if it leads to positive talk, that's great. Meanwhile, again, be part of this conversation. What do you think of Cuban's decision not to play it? And yes, it was a decision. B, the league saying, no, you have to play it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, the only tragic situation going on with the Mavericks right now is their 12-14 record. Now, they have won three in a row, so things are getting better, but Luka Doncic has been absolutely miserable for a while. Porzingis has not been healthy. When is he ever? And you're coming back from yet another surgery, hasn't been right, but they are starting to get it right and turn it around. And you knew once they got healthy, they would. But if you're in New York and you're a Knicks fan, you are watching that because you have their pick and it's unprotected. So if the Mavericks end up not making the playoffs, and in the West, you know, it's not going to be easy, although there is that 7-10 play in now.
But who are they better than? Like, name the teams above them.
Well, Sacramento's above them. They should be better than Sacramento.
But
the Grizzlies are above them.
They
should be better than the Grizzlies.
Do you think they're better than the Grizzlies?
I think they should be.
That's a team that plays hard with a strong enough superstar to have.
Did you see them last year? They're the same team as they were last year. They just have some key injuries, which is why they got off to such a poor start. But Bart, last year you forget the bubble. You forget what Luka was doing. They thought he was going to be MVP candidate this year.
I did not. But, you know, yeah, we think that he's going to be a candidate. He didn't come in
shape.
They
better be a playoff team.
But we've had those years where we see stars not get in shape, and they have that off year, right? You know, because now
he's got that Mahomes body.
Yeah, exactly. He got that soft Mahomes body.
He does.
A lot of soft tissue, a lot of soft everything over there, man.
Way too much soft tissue.
And he's always – every time he always seems like he rolls an ankle. He gets hurt very easily.
Yeah, don't wish that on. They lose him, they're done.
Yeah, and without Porzingis being somebody that you can count on, it feels like this is a team that needed a third star. But how do you get a third star over there? I mean, you have Porzingis, you have him – but you can't count on Porzingis, so a lot of times, you know, Luka has to carry too much of the mail, so to speak.
Yes, yeah, the pressure is always on him to
always
do everything. But I think also for Porzingis, it's getting used to being the secondary star and not having the ball in your hands as much and sort of having to play off somebody that's doing a lot of improvising because double teams are coming at him, traps are coming at him. And if you watch Porzingis play, and I watched him since day one of his career, and I watch him regularly because I'm a fan of his, not entirely his entire family and that whole situation, but I'm a fan of his. And he's not moving the same anymore. He's got a lot of issues that you could see agility-wise for a guy that young. It's not there. Now, it could come back. He just has to get his body right and timing and everything else. But when you watch him defensively, and I always – you remember how we talk about the fish? You're the fish. Kyrie Irving's the fish, right? Mike Remmers was the fish in the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's a Chris Canty word, and God bless Chris Canty. He gave me that word. I use it all the time. But Porzingis defensively, pick and roll, switch till we get KP, and then attack him. Because he just can't move his feet, and he can't turn the hips as fast as he used to, and his shot blocking is taken away because he's not explosive.
As he used to. The dude's like 20 what? 25?
No, I know. No, but there was a time he was a terrific shot blocker and actually was pretty good about keeping guards in front.
That was before the weight and the added muscle mass, and maybe that creates a tightness in the hips and the ability maybe to move.
A little
move.
Too much Kettle One too, maybe.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're talking about what the –
guys,
what
once the, you turn 21 in the NBA
– for me –
Once players turn, all these young guys, you watch the NBA, and all these young guys that come in at 19 and 20, and they've got all this pop and all this jump and all this everything, and then they turn 21, and you're like, he's not as fast as he used to be. How come he doesn't jump as much? Why is his face a little heavier?
What in the Darko Milicek is going on around these pieces?
But anyways, it's an interesting conversation, though, with the NBA, as they are in certain markets, New York included, in a couple of weeks. We'll start letting some fans into the building. They're already seeing fans already, like Miami, for instance. You saw fans. Tampa had some fans for a while. They stopped that for a bit, but the Raptors are now going to finish their season in Tampa. But I just, the league telling teams, it's not a mandate more than it's just tradition. This is what we do, and we're going to continue to do it that way, play the anthem before the game. So we wanted to see what you thought. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Josh in New Orleans to start us off. Hey, Josh.
Thanks for taking my call, fellas. Y'all are one of the best morning shows I listen to. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Not even a question, I have a comment, really. I understand Mark Cuban's a very successful billionaire, and I understand he has been on the forefront of the voice of this, like Bart said, this woke culture. But in a country where a man can start from scratch and make billions of dollars off of a sport that has African-Americans, predominantly athletes in the league, what gives him the right to stop playing the national anthem of the country that gave him these rights because he wants to voice his political opinions?
Well, Mark Cuban is white, by the way. I don't think any player had anything to say, any role in that in that decision. But you're also talking about a country that we understand isn't fair. So it's just wanting to make sure that we hold America to its promise, liberty and justice for all. Right?
Bart,
we do understand that it's harder.
Bart, when does this country not become fair again?
Well, it's not fair when I have to have inadequate schooling. I have Flint where I can't get access to good water. We talk about the racial discrimination as far as the home lending. You talk about one of the greatest assets to be able to have generational wealth is being able to pass homes down to your kids. And you talk about the whole thing when the existence and the creation of suburbs where they didn't allow African-Americans to partake in that. You know, it creates a distance between the haves and have-nots, and it's harder to catch up because if you can go and get a loan to start a business, if you have a great idea and I can't, then you have an opportunity and more ability to get to wealth, and I can't. So it's just things of that sort that we're just trying to undo some of the things that were done back in the day.
And it's obviously a process, and Josh, we thank you for the call. And it's a matter of, like I said, if I'm reading this the right way, this was an attempt by Mark Cuban, and probably a successful one, to say, you know what, we're just playing basketball, and there were a lot of messaging going on in the bubble, and we want to make sure that this continues.
Yeah.
We still have a conversation about where we are. It's not necessarily something of, we're still angry about everything. It's more of, we just got to remember that we got
to
remember.
This is the best time to have a conversation.
Remember not to forget. I guess that's the dumbest, smartest way I could put it.
And Alan, this is the best time to have the conversation because we're not angry.
Temperature's down.
Because it's not coming off of a death. We can really hear each other and listen to each other and say, hey, how do we fix this and how do we get better?
Well, let's just, again, just don't forget. Let's not just all go back to our lives where we just expect this is the way things are. The way things are, That's the whole idea of this conversation. It can't go back to the way things were. All right, let's keep going with some calls here, though, Bart.
Yes, let's get some calls.
We got Ishmael in the Bronx. Ishmael.
Hey, what's going on, man? Love this show. Listen every morning.
Thank you.
I was just saying, you know, I mean, the league is, what, 95, 96% African-American? I mean, if they don't want to stand for something that they don't believe in, then, you know, why would you be mad at them?
Well, the players weren't involved in this. That's the thing. No player even talked about it. You would think by now a player would have said something, but no one said anything. And I think this was strictly about Mark Cuban. I think Mark Cuban was the one that was really behind it and maybe even the one behind getting it out there. Like, hey, by the way, we've been doing this for about 13 home games now. No one said anything.
Right.
Let's go Barney in Michigan. Barney.
313.
Hey, fellas. Appreciate your show. And
thank you.
I love the national anthem. It's my favorite song. And I, even at home, if it comes on before a game, I stand up and I put my hand over my heart.
Good for you.
Because to me, it's one last time to think about something bigger than myself. And I think in team sports, anybody that, you know, thinks team first, that's that one last reminder of let's make sure the group is successful. And that to me is a great reason to play the anthem, and it's why it's my favorite song.
Thank you, Barney. And, you know, I'll add this. And I told the story yesterday about during certain times in our history, as we continue with our lives, and you know, something's going on somewhere else, whether it's a war, whether it's a conflict, whatever it is, you're at a sporting event, and that's supposed to take you away from reality, and the anthem is that one last reminder of the reality of where you are and why you get to enjoy the freedoms that you have for the most part. Obviously, you want everybody to enjoy those. And that's why I told that story. But it also, to me, in another way, it just gives the event a feeling of, if I can use this term, bigness. Because, like, otherwise, I remember in the first high school basketball game I played in, they played the anthem, which never before did I ever have to stand for the anthem. So it was like, this means something.
Yeah,
so there's also something to that where we're all standing together. It's a unification, and now we're going to go play. This is an event. The anthem signifies this is an event, and I think that's what it's
about. The bigness of the event, right?
You get the flyover.
Because even if you're one of those teams that, you know, like I said, when I first got in the league, we didn't play the anthem. If you get to that Super Bowl, that anthem come over, you waiting for those bombers and those helicopters, those Apaches to come over, and you know it's on like Donkey Kong when that comes on. So listen, players enjoy it, and players love it just as much. We fight our whole lives to be able to earn the right to have that moment. You heard some of the mic'd up players in the Super Bowl saying, oh, man, I fought my whole life just to get to this moment. I've arrived. This is the bigness of the event, the magnitude of the event, and I'm going to live up to it.
No question about it. We'll keep the calls going. We appreciate the calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. As we move on to the NFL, so 9 experts for ESPN went through a couple of off-season topics. One of them, where Deshaun Watson will end up. Where they think he'll end up is actually pretty fascinating and could be special. We'll discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
They go and hire Nick Caserio.
I've come to understand that Deshaun feels left out of the process.
Deshaun Watson is a fan of Bieniemy's and wanted them to interview him, if not hire him.
Deshaun Watson has officially requested a trade.
The Texans named David Culley as their next head coach.
That's what Jamie Roots did. We're talking about people who have been involved in this organization for 2 decades who no longer want to be a part of what the Houston Texans are doing.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, your ESPN app, your smart speaker. Bart, what do you say to your smart speaker when you want to hear our show?
Hahn.
Is that all
ESPN.
You do?
ESPN and it just Plus.
That's it? So yeah, your smart speaker knows when you go, Hahn. It knows exactly what it wants.
Hahn. You got to train it, man. It's like a parrot. You got to train it.
Sounds like a Harley when you do it like that, too. I like that. We love our lists here on the show. And by the way, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 800-1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So we love our lists here. And what we do is we get our experts to tell us, you know, like, what do you think of this and what do you think of that? So we put a panel of ESPN NFL experts together, and we asked a bunch of questions about the NFL offseason. And the biggest question, of course, about the NFL offseason is where will Deshaun Watson be playing in 2021? Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans, says the Texans. She has reason to believe that they have no interest in moving him, and he's going to have to play. And right now, the Texans continue to dig in and say he's not being moved. Now, we have more on the Texans situation in the 1 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss the story there. And again, my reporter instincts and Bart's connections, we've unearthed some very interesting things. Meanwhile, Field Yates, the great NFL analyst, he says Miami Dolphins. He feels like the Texans have to make a move and that's a good offer. And he wants to be in Miami. Jeremy Fowler, a national writer for us, he says the Panthers, think about Carolina. That they have also ways they can make a trade, but Christian McCaffrey could be dangled in something like that. And would you dare do that? Dan Graziano, also terrific national writer for us. He also says the Panthers. Two national writers, both saying Carolina, feeling like they have a high draft pick. They could even throw Teddy Bridgewater in there, who you can use as the, no pun intended, bridge quarterback. I know. Seth Walder, who's our analytics guy, he says the Jets, baby. Seth Walder's become my favorite person now. And he said he makes it simple. We say this too. The Jets, with a package centered on the number two pick, they can offer basically the best options to Houston. And so that's what you want to do. Matt Bowen, NFL analyst, Carolina Panthers. That's three for the Panthers, by the way.
Yeah.
Kevin Seifert, national writer, 49ers. Ooh. Put him in Kyle Shanahan's offense with Kittle and those weapons.
Ayuk, Debo Samuel. But what I'm saying is, what are they giving up? If the Panthers giving up McCaffrey, are they giving up Nick Bosa? Because ain't nobody going to take D4.
Well, you send them Jimmy G. So you get your – it's almost like it's similar to the Rams-Stafford deal. Okay. Where we give you a starter who's gotten to a Super Bowl.
So it's a swap.
And then we have to give you a bunch of picks as
well. Say that right. We give you a guy that's won three Super Bowls. Like, what? He's a three-time Super Bowl winner? Like, yeah. No. He was in the back seat.
That's right. Super Bowl champion Jimmy Garoppolo. Mike Clay, who's a fantasy writer, he says Panthers. And Jason Reed from the undefeated 49er. So Carolina and San Francisco sound like the most popular destinations for him. Does either make sense to you, though, just logically? And if I'm Roger Goodell, by the way, before you even begin, let me just say this. David Stern would never allow a trade like, wait, a marketable star, and I'm going to send him to I'm already going to put Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Yeah. Now I'm going to put Deshaun Watson in Carolina. No offense. I love Charlotte. No offense to North Carolina. I've met my wife there.
I love Bojangles.
I love it, but damn. You have Deshaun Watson and you have a chance to get him in a major market. You might want that to happen.
And, I mean, you look at, you know, we saw and we loved what we saw out of Matt Rhule. And they lost a lot of close games. This is a young football team, went all in on the defensive line. They're starting to build from the inside out. Robbie Anderson had a rebirth. You know, they have some good players. They got a good defensive line. It's going to be interesting because Matt Rhule, we know, is much like John Gruden, has total control. So if he says, hey, we'll give up whatever we have to, they're going to give him what he wants. He has a 10-year deal. He may be the highest paid coach in the league right now. You know, so this would be a nice little team, you know, with him. Well, I mean, let me tell you what. You send Deshaun Watson anywhere, that team instantly, outside of the Jets.
No doubt.
The Jets is the only team that we mentioned that they don't become Super Bowl-like contenders. You know, immediately, you know, because they're so far away.
That's
just
because
they're so far
away.
You're
not wrong. No, you're not wrong. I'm just saying.
I mean, you send them to San Francisco. I guarantee you they become one of the favorites. You send them to even Carolina. You know, send them to Miami. Miami's got to definitely become the favorite, you know, to be, you know, division champions and also be able to be winners. So it's all up to Deshaun Watson. That's the unknown. If they do decide to trade Deshaun Watson, where does he want to go? And will he waive that no trade? You know, as far as what I'm hearing, I hear Deshaun's dug in, Houston's dug in, and it's going to be a game of chicken, and we don't know, you know, what's going to happen going forward.
That is franchise malpractice if you trade him after the draft. There's no other way to put it. After this draft, when you can get a pick as high as number two, and people are projecting quarterbacks could go, five of them could go in the first 12 picks, and you decide to wait till after the draft and then you trade him. It's one thing if you're like, we're just going to, if he's going to sit out, we're not going to trade him. You want to dig yourself in, fine. But if you get it to where it gets so ugly and so out of control that at some point in training camp you trade him for a 2022 draft pick, that's franchise malpractice. I'm sorry. It's not only bad practice, it's stupid. It doesn't make sense. And I know, my Jets fan, I'd love for him to go to the Jets. It's not even about that at this point. It's just about the reality of sometimes you make business decisions, and you make smart business decisions. You don't compound problems. And, Bart, we see bad franchises. Yeah. What do they do with a problem? They compound that problem by trying to pretend they don't have one. Oh, we'll fix it. Will you? Name me the last time a disgruntled player wanted out. I mean, legit wanted out. Not I'm trying to get more money wanted out. Legit wanted out because I don't like it here. I don't want anything to do with this place. He's already got his money. This ain't about money. Oh. When was the last time that kind of a player stayed and then was like, I'm good now. Everything's great. I love
it. And it all worked out, right?
Like, Kobe Bryant went through this, right, where there was a point where he wasn't happy. In between the championship eras, after Shaq left and all that stuff and Phil left, where he wasn't happy. And there was a lot of talk about him wanting out of L.A. And it wasn't a great market for him, of course. The Knicks were going to offer him a mid-level exception. That's a true story. They didn't have enough cap space, so Isaiah Thomas said, I will give you a mid-level, but you'll have an opt-out so that we have your bird rights, and then we can give you a max. And Kobe's just like, I'm all set. But that's but there was a time it felt like Kobe wanted out.
Right. You got 27 teams. You got 27 teams that's willing to give up almost anything for Deshaun Watson.
And you're like, no, we're not going to trade him.
And this is crazy. Listen, Alan, you're a handsome dude, man. I'm sure you've broken up with a girl and she refused to accept reality, right? And she just couldn't get it through her skull that you didn't want to be with her no more. So she thought that she can convince you by maybe being nice, being good, cooking you breakfast, taking care of you, little happy endings, make sure everything is all good.
Phrasing.
And then it still didn't work. Like, when somebody's done,
it's done. It's funny, though.
If you got an opportunity to get something for it, you better cash it in as soon as you can.
What you described, though, I've experienced just on the other way.
you was on the one. You got blocked.
I was, yeah.
Listen, can't you get it through your greasy skull?
I was
skull?
Stella.
The girl
I
don't
had to
want
get
you
my
anymore.
Back.
Like the coming NBA, to America?
The NBA's on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. It's John Wall and the Rockets. Still sounds weird. Host Butler and the Heat, Jimmy. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So, again, we'll get into the Texan stuff at 1 o'clock. There's a lot of information there that you've got to hear, because it's not even a football story at this point. It's a bad franchise kind of story that we've got to describe to you, and we've got some information to share. But meanwhile, coming up, a couple of things. Troy Aikman on Dak Prescott, because why not? And LeBron James, once again, puts himself into the story that has nothing to do with him. We'll explain. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
My guess is if he's playing on the franchise tag, that will be the last we see of Dak Prescott.
Jerry said he has all the leverage based on what we've already offered him. He's not saying he has all the leverage so he can come back in and we're going to give him $60 million a year. That's not what he's saying.
I don't understand. Give this man his money.
That number is going to be so high on the back end in year 4 and 5 from a cap standpoint. And if you're good, Jay, they got to come see you.
Bart and Han.
That was some pretty heavy stuff there from KJZ. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You can be part of the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Bart and Han on Twitter and Instagram as well. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We're also brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So with all these people bringing us to you, we bring to you what you just heard there, the guys talking about on KJZ, Dak Prescott, the other quarterback that we are wondering what's happening with his future. Isn't it amazing? When, and again, this comes from a Jets fan perspective. When you have a quarterback and he's legit good, do whatever it takes to keep him. Like, it doesn't make any sense what's happening here. And now, if you don't believe me, how about listen to quarterbacks who have played for you in the past, including one that's won Super Bowls? Troy Aikman, the last guy to actually do something in the postseason for you. I know Tony Romo had a day. Dak Prescott said this. This is from the Dallas Morning News. Tony Romo. I'd be really surprised if he's playing under the franchise tag again this year. My guess if he is, that'll be the last we see of Dak Prescott. I just can't imagine that he's going to feel really good giving an open negotiation to the Cowboys if he's played 2 years under the franchise tag. Now, Bart, if you didn't think Aikman was enough, let's drag Danny White out of the mothballs. Danny White, what do you think? He said, I think the Cowboys made a big mistake by not signing him sooner to a long-term deal. He's proven himself in my book. He checks all the boxes. He's a born leader. That's the number one thing. That's the one thing you can't really teach a quarterback, how to lead. The guys in the locker room follow him, end quote. How important are these statements by these two former quarterbacks of the Dallas Cowboys that Jerry Jones cannot ignore?
It's tough, right? Because Jerry Jones marches to the beat of his own drum, right? He was saying, hey, I want brought this this organization to prominence. I win at everything I do, and I'm not going to be dictated. Listen, he, like he said before, when have I not paid somebody, right? Well, that's be 1 year, maybe 2 years. And listen, if it gets to a third year, you may not have an option. You can maybe, after the franchise tag, you can tell Dak, hey, man, I'm going to give you all the money in the world. But now he's a free agent, and he gets an opportunity to hear from other people. And if he hears from a team like San Francisco that says, hey, we're ready to win, because they still have to fix this roster. The defense was horrible. You look at what they're doing on the offensive line. Tyron Smith is getting old. You know, they got, you know, Travis Frederick, I believe, retired, or Martin retired. I always forget which one retired. You guys, Lionel Collins was injured last year. That offensive line is not the great wall that it once was. And so now they have to figure out how they're going to rebuild and structure stuff around Dak anyway. So Dak may be saying, hey, you know what? I want to get out while the getting is good.
Yeah, we shall see. But that is a situation. I feel like we've been talking about it for years. I think we have.
It's been 3 years.
Maybe that conversation finally comes to an end. He was playing the best of his career and the best of any quarterback before the injury. And, of course, he will be coming back. And for the Cowboys, not easy to replace a franchise quarterback when you have one, especially when you found one in the fourth round. So coming up, we move over to another team in Texas. That would be Houston. And a story of a chaplain who has now taken over power of the Texans. We'll explain. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.